Hello again, everybody. This is Lance Russell with Championship Wrestling with another big week. Join us right now.
Hey, everybody. This is Heath Mulliken from the Double Dropkick Show, and we got a very special edition of the podcast today. I am joined by Scott Hensley, who I met maybe a year and a half ago. We were down at a show in Anarchy in Cornelia, Georgia, and met Scott, found out he was in wrestling, and had him. I'm having him on the show just to talk to him about what got him into wrestling. But in particular, Scott's really involved with the Scenic City Invitational, which has become one of the biggest tournaments in the whole country. Scott, how are you tonight, man?
Hey, Heath. Thanks for having me on. I'm great.
So another cool thing, if you listen to the podcast, you guys know that I am a pastor. And that was kind of what really started the conversation with Scott and I, because his wife was reading this Craig Rochelle book while we're sitting there. So we started talking, and we've got that in common. Scott does a lot with ministry. You guys do something every year to collect baseball gloves, right?
Yeah, we do a baseball mission to Jamaica every year, the last week of July. So far this year, my family and I have collected about 50 gloves, and actually just tonight at church, somebody donated $1,000 to us for equipment to take down to Jamaica. So it's been an amazing blessing. I got to pray with 10 kids to accept Christ last year.
Wow.
You know, if I'm making my highlight film of my filthy rags, you know, that's going to be my number one right there.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, before we jump ahead, let's kind of start back at the beginning and just, Scott, what got you into wrestling as a fan? Like, what's the first wrestling you remember that really captivated you?
I think the first thing that I really remember was Shawn Michaels throwing Marty Jannetty through the barbershop window.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think I used to turn on the TV and just watch whatever wrestling was on, and we had a big hour or three-hour block of wrestling in Middle Tennessee, where we had like USWA and WCW, and WCW had like five or six different shows a weekend at that time, I think.
Right.
And DDP was on them all.
Yes.
What a hardworking man. I remember just being absolutely captivated by seeing Shawn Michaels throw his partner through that barbershop window. And then my grandmother also really liked wrestling, and we went to a live event in Fayetteville, Tennessee, at a high school or middle school. It was a WCW house show.
Wow.
And it was like the most like B card ever.
Yeah.
The main event was Johnny B. Badd versus Max Payne. that was the main event.
I hope you didn't pay too much for those tickets.
I was so little, I was 8 or 9 years old that, I wasn't paying anything.
Isn't it crazy that even a show like that, as a kid, you just don't care about that kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah.
You're at wrestling, and that's all that matters.
Oh, yeah, I wanted to catch the money out of Johnny B. Badd's cannon.
Oh, nice. Man,
I wanted to, but, we were too far back. But at that show, I did get to see, Regal versus a very young Rob Van Dam.
Wow.
And I've actually met both of them since then and talked to them about that. And they both really enjoyed talking about that.
It's hard to believe that we live in a world where WWE used to run house shows in high school gyms. Like, the biggest wrestling company in the world used to run house shows in some pretty small places. That's just mind-blowing to me.
Oh, yeah, everybody's got to start somewhere, I guess.
So, speaking of starting somewhere, Scott, kind of tell everybody how you kind of moved from fan, from being involved in the wrestling business. What did that look like, and what are some of the promotions that you've worked with?
That was a great segue, by the way.
Thank you, sir.
I got started going to some local shows in the Middle Tennessee area. We had a pretty good little local show, which is actually still in operation, of SWF in Tullahoma, Tennessee. But they would bring in people like Bobby Eaton and Slash, right, and Brian Lee, and James Storm had some early matches there before TNA. So my friends and I would go there on Friday nights and check that out. And I started going to TNA, to the Wednesday night pay-per-views, and got to see just an amazing group of guys there. Got to see, you know, some early AJ Styles stuff and the X Division and all kinds of just random big stars and ECW people that would pop in there. But really, for me to get involved, it started with me writing reports. I would go to shows and then I would just do like a summary of what happened and sort of my opinion on it. And I did see where a couple of other people had done this on the internet, but I was amazed, and still am, really, right, that more people don't do it.
Right.
And but I've also found that, you know, to have an opinion is to also get criticized for your opinion, and you know, you have to put yourself out there when,
right,
you give an opinion.
Absolutely.
So I'd gotten to be friends with Christian Haim, and well, I guess going back before that even, I went to a wrestling show down in Canton, Georgia, and they had all kinds of people down there. Cesaro was there, and Low-Key, and Caleb Conley, a very early young Caleb Conley. This was probably 2007.
Wow.
And I think he was Black Pegasus at that time. But they had all these guys in this big tournament, and they announced that this guy was from Chattanooga, Tennessee. And so I talked to him after the show, and he's like, "Did you come by yourself?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "I couldn't find anybody to come with me." And, you know, I told him the TNA X Division champion Low-Key's there. And they said, "He must be pretty low-key. I've never heard of him." So, yeah, I went by myself, and I talked to this guy, and turns out his name was Ace Rockwell. And Ace said, "Hey, I'm organizing a show up in right above Chattanooga in a little town called Soddy Daisy, and I may need like a referee or something." And so sure enough, he gave me a call right before that show, and I went in and refereed for Jimmy Rave and Chip Day and Abdullah the Butcher, and was absolutely terrified and had no idea what I was doing. One of my friends offered to show me the tape of that event. I said no. I said, "Please don't show me that."
Oh my god. So like your first night in, you're reffing cold turkey.
Yeah, he's, wow, like, "You figure it out. You know what to do."
Oh, my goodness. Oh,
so like,
my goodness.
I mean, Abdullah shook my hand, and he was nice to me or whatever, and I guess Ace probably said, "Hey, you know, take it easy on him."
Right.
But, you know, during the match, during the Abdullah match, it was a false count anywhere, like no rules match. It was just like count the pin.
Right.
So I stayed out of their way, and I think it was Tank and Iceberg and Abdullah the Butcher and Nemesis, and like they were all bleeding all over the place. And so Nemesis and Abdullah the Butcher end up winning, and I go to raise Abdullah's hand, and he comes after me like trying to stab me, and yes, I guarantee if I didn't run, I guarantee he would have stabbed me.
Yes, 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 he would have.
So another year or so passed by. It's probably about 2009, and I went down to Scottsboro, Alabama, to a little show called Ultimate NWA, which is actually where Corey Hollis got his start. He got his start a couple months before I got there. But they had a lot of guys that had wrestled at Wildside, like Adam Jacobs, right, Patrick Bentley, and Adam Roberts. And then they had Wild Thing Will Owens, who's a staple of North Alabama. But Christian Haim was a guy that I'd gotten to know from writing some reports. And he had traveled. He did some CZW and Chikara and IWA Mid-South. And he was like the guy from Alabama that traveled.
Yeah.
So I absolutely loved him. I went down to watch a show. I went a little early, and Will Owens comes up to me and he says, "Hey, you got any pants with you?" I said, pants with me? He goes, yeah. He goes, I need a ring announcer. My ring announcer skipped out to go to a show to see Hardcore Holly. So Hardcore Holly got me into the business because I told him, I said, I don't have any pants with me. And he says, well, he goes, okay, those shorts will work. And then he looked at his nephew and he goes, hey, he goes, give him your shirt. And so his nephew, I literally took the shirt off of his nephew's back and it was like a polo shirt with Ultimate NWA. And Will looked at me and he goes, can you do it? And I said, I guess. He goes, no, there's no I guess. He goes, can you do it? Can you be my ring announcer? I said, yes. And then here we are, you know, 8 years later, and I've gotten the opportunity to work with local stuff, with did a little bit of stuff with Empire in North Georgia,
right.
NWA Chattanooga here in Chattanooga. I got to go up to Nashville and do some TV stuff with a promotion called Saul. Got to work with Ricochet and Vordell Walker. Matt Bentley randomly showed up one time, the former Michael Shane from TNA.
Right.
I marked out for that. Luke Gallows came up there and worked some. I worked some in Knoxville. I worked with Tom Pritchard and Jim Cornette and Dirty White Boy. And had just a lot of fun there. And then throughout Georgia, I've worked with Georgia Premier Wrestling with Big Wood and Daryl there. Absolutely love them and have a good partnership with them. I got to actually call AJ Styles' last independent match with Georgia Premier Wrestling.
And that's actually, so I actually watched that and heard you on commentary on Powerbomb TV.
Yeah, great.
So let me ask you this. So where you live in Chattanooga, you are like within 2 hours of you, how many promotions do you think there are?
Oh, mercy. Yeah, it's a lot because, I mean, there's probably three or four that run on a weekly basis up toward Nashville.
Right.
There's probably one or two down toward Birmingham or Huntsville. Within 2 hours of me in Georgia, goodness, there's probably 10 that run on a weekly or biweekly basis in Georgia, and then probably another couple up toward like Knoxville and like Athens or Cleveland in that area. So, you know, we're talking maybe 20 promotions within 2 hours, right, you know, every week or every other week.
Yeah. See, here in South Carolina with the Athletic Commission, I think there's maybe, somebody said earlier this year, there were 9 wrestling promotions in South Carolina. There may be a few more than that since then, but there's still maybe less than 15 in the whole state. Mm. And because people just, I mean, there's a lot of guys that are local to me that live in the same town I do, but they run in Georgia because they just don't want to have to deal with the Athletic Commission and getting guys licensed. Just, you know, all this. It's a lot of work. It adds a lot of work. But in some ways, it really does. Most of the shows you go to in South Carolina, you know what to expect. There's going to be a barricade. The guys are going to be licensed. And just because they're licensed doesn't mean that they earned that license in any way.
Oh, yeah.
But so let's talk. So a couple of years ago, talk about the genesis and the birth of the Scenic City Invitational, because this thing has absolutely, this is the third year, it has blown up. But talk about how you guys got this thing started.
Sure, yeah. With the Scenic City Invitational, myself and H. Rockwell and some other wrestlers would sit around and text each other, Facebook message each other, and we would just talk about up-and-coming talent and talk about good talent throughout the Southeast. And we sort of talked about, you know, wouldn't it be cool if we did a big tournament and featured some of these up-and-coming guys and some of these established talents that we have, you know, within 2 or 3 hours of Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Right.
And, you know, you talked about as many shows as we have around here, and it really is amazing the crossroads that we have and the access to talent that we have. Yeah. And part of that is sort of the leftovers from WCW, where the guys that were job guys or guys that were established guys sort of trained guys or worked with guys, and then those guys have trained guys. And so now we're second or third generation from WCW sort of now.
Right.
But it's guys that made money that trained guys, or guys that worked with guys that made money, and it makes all the difference.
Right.
So myself and Ace Rockwell, one day we talked about this fantasy booking that we were doing, and we were like, you know, I think we can actually do this. And let's call it the Scenic City Invitational, which was sort of an ode to the Ted Petty Invitational from IWA Mid-South. And we partnered with Empire Wrestling, and we got them to let us use their building. And we networked around, and we called in favors, and, you know, we reached out to really unique people like Congo Kong that the area had never seen before. And then we utilized guys that had a lot of good experience, like Gunner from TNA, or soon to be maybe WWE or NXT now.
Yeah.
We utilized guys like Jimmy Rave that have been to Japan and TNA and Ring of Honor. And we brought all these guys in, and then we brought in the young, hungry guys like Anthony Henry and Chip Day and Joey Lynch and local hero, former football player at UT Chattanooga, Gunner Miller. And so we found this perfect formula of guys to gain interest. And then we attracted some really smart fans that were willing to sort of come on board and either officially or unofficially and just start pushing us and pushing us online.
Yeah.
And, you know, I really credit the Twitter universe for us taking off. And then last year we were able to partner with East Hamilton Middle High School. And they have a beautiful facility, and so we really added a great cause. And so now we raise money, and we're able to raise thousands of dollars for a school and still feature this top wrestling talent. And it really has become just an amazing thing through Twitter. And I give a lot of credit to Dylan Hells. Dylan Hells came on board officially as a and I hate to use the term, but creative member with us.
Right, right.
But he is a networking specialist for sure.
Yeah, oh,
and,
yeah.
And, you know, Papa Hells, his dad, is out at shows all the time, and he's there a lot of the times. And he knows good wrestling, and he talks to all these people that are willing to travel in, and he's helped us build our fan base. And so that's why people this year we have people coming from Australia, England, Canada, and then you know, dozens of different states just to watch this tournament. And it's really just overwhelming.
So yeah, so three friends and I, we have already purchased we've got ringside seats for both nights. We are doing, Bob Evans is doing a seminar. We're doing that on Saturday. We've already got our hotel booked. I mean, we are really, really excited because we're going to be exposed. You mentioned being at a crossroads in Tennessee. I would say of all the guys you are having, I have seen Jason Cade wrestle live, and I've seen Anthony Henry wrestle live. Everybody else either is not in South Carolina or hasn't been at one of the North Carolina shows that I've been to. So if you're listening to this and you live in South Carolina or you don't get to Georgia a lot, if you want to see the talent that you don't get to see in this area a lot, the Scenic City Invitational is it. And it's $15 for ringside, $30 for ringside two nights. That's unbelievable. That's less than what I paid for SmackDown nosebleed seats. So can you talk? You mentioned Gunner Miller. He has become a huge name, not just in Georgia, but through the Scenic City Invitational. Went in it last year. He was in the finals. finals the first year. But for people who maybe have never heard of him, just kind of talk about who Gunnar Miller is. And I know Matt Riddle is going to be in there this year. But just talk about Gunnar and some of the other guys that maybe folks in South Carolina or folks in this area maybe have not heard of. I know somebody like Tank, who is a legend in Georgia, Tennessee, and this is kind of like his swan song. But who are some of your favorite guys going into this?
Oh, it's so hard to pick, you know, a couple favorites when we have 16 guys that, for the most part, all of them travel regionally or even internationally now.
Right.
But talking about Gunnar Miller, he's a guy that used to come watch us when we had NWA Chattanooga, and he was trained by Ace Rockwell, and just, you know, he's got the look, he's got the right attitude, and he just instantly wins people over because he just has that legitimate athlete appeal to him, where he gets in the ring and you know you're about to see something really athletic.
Right.
I mean, you've got a big heavyweight guy that can dive over the top rope and you know, can pounce guys, spear guys, slam guys. And he's just an absolute student of wrestling. His family's real supportive. He has a lot of local support, but he's really branched out in the last year and gone down to Anarchy Wrestling.
Right.
He's gone down to Platinum Championship Wrestling, and he's really under the tutelage of Jeff G. Bailey.
Yep.
And you know, it's not just like a gimmick thing that Jeff G. Bailey is his manager. Jeff G. Bailey like genuinely helps manage his career and helps teach him where to be and what to do and what to say and where to go. And, you know, he's getting legitimate manager advice from someone that has worked with so many successful people throughout the years. But other people in the tournament, you mentioned Tank. Tank said this is it.
Yeah.
So win or lose, the Scenic City Invitational event will be his last weekend as an active wrestler, and it's going to be really emotional. I've been able to work on shows with Tank since 2007. He started in '96,
wow.
So I've been there through about half of his career, and he's been in the ring with guys like Gypsy Joe and Terry Gordy and Abdullah, but then he also wrestled guys like Seth Rollins and Cesaro and Samoa Joe and AJ Styles, and so he bridges the gaps between the generations there and has just such an interesting career. And he's also one of those guys that people see him and, you know, he doesn't look like a bodybuilder or a
right.
model by any means. He's a big, bald, bearded guy, and he's scary looking, and people just, they see legitimacy there. They
yeah.
see a fighter, and they love it. And so, you know, he won our first ever Scenic City Rumble.
Right.
And he got to choose his opponent, and he didn't even wait for us to name the field. Matt Riddle, the former UFC fighter, had announced that he would return to our tournament, and Tank said, "I want Riddle."
Wow.
So first round, our main event of night one, will be former UFC fighter Matt Riddle versus Tank, and Tank's career is on the line. So it's going to be emotional, and because he's fighting for everything. He's got a brand new daughter.
Wow.
And so he's ready for a new stage of life.
So,
and it's going to be interesting.
So the three guys you were just talking about, and this is what I love about this tournament. You got Gunnar Miller, who's a former football player and great athlete. You got Tank, who's just a big guy. And Tank's wrestling Matt Riddle, who may be he's just in phenomenal shape. If you don't know who we're talking about, he's a former UFC fighter. He has been everywhere this year.
Yeah.
He's been wrestling less than 2 years. He's getting a lot of buzz. But you got the big guy versus a smaller guy. And that's what I like about this tournament. It's not 16 of the same people. You've got different characters, shall we say. You got different body types. You got different wrestling styles. You got a guy like you mentioned, Anthony Henry, who's got a style that is very unique to him. You've got, man, I'm looking through this list. You've got Jason Kincaid, who is one of the, I've seen him wrestle at Ring of Honor a couple of times. Just so unique, not just in his style, but just his look. Martin Stone, who was on the UK tournament on the WWE Network. And here's a guy I wanted to ask you about, because I've been hearing his name, haven't seen him wrestle, haven't seen a lot of him, and that is Darby All-In. Is that how you say his name? Tell me a little bit
Allen.
About this guy. Allen. Tell me a little bit about this guy.
Yeah, Darby Allen is a guy. He was a semi-professional skateboarder, but he sort of takes that mindset into his matches where, you know, if you think about a lot of skateboarders, you know, they don't have much body fat, and they're willing to just do absolutely crazy things, and that's Darby Allen. You know, he's a lean, super athletic guy who has won over just a ton of people at Evolve with just being willing to get in there and just do just insane things. And we actually announced his matchup for night one is going to be against Joey Janela, who's right. another guy that I've seen the clip circulating again this week where Zandig picked him up and they jumped off a building through a fiery table, through a truck and barbed wire, and you know, it's just, these guys are like the most passionate guys that you'll ever find. And people can say, you know, that's garbage wrestling or whatever, but you're not going to find people with more heart than some of the people that we have in this tournament.
And Joey, you know, you mentioned Joey Janela, and I had seen that clip a bunch of times, but I didn't know who it was. And Joey Janela first got on my radar with this show he booked WrestleMania week, where he wrestled Marty Jannetty, and it was like this show in the middle of the night, I think, and it was just this totally unique, not your typical wrestling show, but universally praised as, oh my god, you know, as being unique. And it's one of those that I'm like, I haven't been able to watch yet. I know it's got to be on one of these. There's like 17 streaming networks now for indie wrestling. So yeah. I need to go and find that. So if people want, I know that the first two SCIs are online to watch. Where can people go if they want to kind of catch up and see what your tournament's all about? Where can they go to either download, order, or just watch it streaming?
Powerbomb TV currently has the first and the second Scenic City Invitational. So you can subscribe through them. We are still in negotiations for how we will distribute or stream this year's tournament, but it's going to be just amazingly exciting. And like you said, we have such a diverse field, and we've really tried to utilize guys that have a big fan base.
Right.
We've tried to create these partnerships where it's like, get on board and be a part of our team.
Yeah.
You know, let's have something that's mutually beneficial where we are promoting each other.
Right. So if people want to get tickets, if they want to order tickets, book their room or do any of that for the weekend, like where can they go and order tickets? Who do they need to talk to about that?
Sure. You can email Dylan Waco. That's DylanWaco at gmail.com for tickets. And as you mentioned earlier, those ringside tickets are just $15 a night. And then we will have plenty of general admission tickets for $10 a night. But, you know, you said that you and you three friends have already bought floor tickets. We have already had a lot of people buy floor tickets, and they will sell out guaranteed. So, you know, anybody listening to this that's thinking about coming, go ahead and buy those floor seats. And if you can't come, then, you know, it's a $30 donation to a school.
Right.
You know, it's for a good cause.
So I'll have that in the show notes, DylanWaco@gmail.com. Scott, if people want to find out more about you, connect with you, or follow you, where can they go to connect with you on social media?
My main things are Facebook or Twitter, and it's the same thing on both of them. It's Scott C. Hensley.
Scott C. Hensley. And then what's the I should have this off the top of my head, but I don't. What's Scenic City Invitational? What are they on Twitter?
On Twitter, we are SCI Tournament. And then on Facebook, you can just look up Scenic City Invitational.
So I'll have links to all this stuff. And, you know, I'm really looking forward to being at that event and you know, doing a good report on it. And really hoping, you know, I really... really hoping, you know, an event like this, it's about, you know, maybe a 3-hour drive for us, which is nothing, for, you know, to go to a two-day event. That's a great drive, and I'm looking forward to it. You and I have only actually got to hang out, a few times in person, but I'm looking forward to that weekend. Anything else you want to do to talk about the tournament, or just maybe some wrestling you're looking forward to that's not part of this tournament?
Well, to hammer home the tournament, it's August 4th and 5th. That's a Friday and Saturday at East Hamilton Middle High School in Ootowah, Tennessee, which is just to the northeast of Chattanooga. There will be activities going on all weekend at the hotel there next to I can't remember what the diner is now. It kills me.
Cafe or something like that?
Yes, the City Cafe. My mind went completely blank. But they're at the hotel with the City Cafe. They are great with partnering with us with Papa Hells. And people will be podcasting all weekend. Wrestlers will be dropping in there at that hotel and at City Cafe there all weekend. And it will be just the time of your life, as you'll get to see wrestlers that travel the world just living out their passion and just hoping to live their dream and to be able to just make a living doing what they love. We're hoping to ignite that fire and be the Kickstarter for that while also raising a lot of money for the school. Other things that I am excited about coming up, I know in September, NWA Wildside is having a reunion.
That's right.
In Cornelia. That's going to be wild. It's going to sell out guaranteed there.
Oh, yeah. That's a small building.
Oh, man, I wish they had a nice big place, but then again, you know, you want the atmosphere of the church as well.
Right.
The other thing I guess I'm excited about is not this upcoming Sunday, but next Sunday, is that the 25th maybe? Is that a Sunday?
Yeah, 25th. Yeah, okay. Sunday, yeah.
The 25th in Norcross, Georgia, Mucha Lucha Atlanta.
Yes.
Is putting on this insane tournament. Are you coming to that?
I think we're at camp that day.
Okay.
Yeah, the next couple weeks are crazy for me.
It's the summer.
Yes.
But they've got former Pentagon, the former Phoenix. They've got Mil Muertes making a rare United States appearance. The former Judas Macias.
Right.
They've got Brian Cage, Jeff Cobb, and then Joey Lynch is in the tournament. I'm excited about that. AR Fox. All these other guys are going to be in a one-night tournament there. Sunday, June the 25th.
Hey, what do you know? You know what time that starts that day?
I believe the listed start time is 4:30 p.m.
Okay, That may be their
shows are usually a little iffy as to start times. So, you know, 5:30, and it's seriously just a cultural thing.
Right. Well, I may have to put that on the calendar. That's the good. I mean, I can be in Charlotte in about 2.5 hours, Atlanta about 1.5 hours. So I try to, especially like Ring of Honor, if they're in Atlanta, we try to get to that. And if you're listening to this, we got June 30th. We're doing our first interpromotional show with APW in Chester, South Carolina. The main event is title versus title. James Drake, the APW heavyweight champion, against Ken Magnum, the 3-count heavyweight champion. So really looking forward to that. And, man, just it's a great time to be a wrestling fan, because if you live in the South, there is a show you can get to, without a doubt. So, well, Scott, hey, thanks for joining us tonight, man. Like I said, I look forward to hanging out with you in August, and all the best to you, brother.
Thank you so much.
And that's it this week, fans. So long for now.